Tomit Per Gimel Mishnah Ches. This is a very unique Mishnah where the Mishnah goes through different parts of the Avodah Beis Hamikdash that were obviously in Yerushalayim and the Mokom Hamikdash and their Hisyachsus to Yericho. Mi Yericho hayushaimim kol shar hagodol shaniftach. We described in the previous Mishnah that there was a going in with the Pishpishin, but Lamaisa, the actual Shchitas and Hakrovas Korban Tomit had to be done with the Psichas Shar HaGodl. Shar HaGodl, the opening of it was a big deal. And because of that, the noise of it was also a Dovah Godl. And the way the Mishnah says is that the noise was so loud is that it was heard all the way to Yericho. The rest of the Mishnah is going to describe other things that were heard all the way to Yericho. So this was heard the way to... Now, why does the Mishnah bring Yericho? It's very interesting. In the topography of the area around Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is mostly surrounded by mountains, Loshna Pasuk and Tehillim. Yerushalayim Horim Sovivlo. Lamaisa, outside of the immediate area around the Beis HaMikdash, Harbayis, the Har HaZeisim, the area going down towards Yericho, Yericho is all the way down near the Yam HaMelech, is mostly down and not blocked by mountains. You could say B'derech HaTeva, even though Yericho is quite far, Rav says that it was 10 parasois from Yerushalayim. 10 parasois is 40 mil. Lamaisa, without getting into the different shittis of Shiurim, it could be, it's certainly over 20 miles, could be more like 30 miles. So it's quite a distance. 30 miles to hear a noise sounds a little bit rochak min derech hateva, unless you say it was mamish downhill and the noise was that loud. Still, it's hard to believe. Lamaisa, you look over here, there's a ravid, a very special yedi over here, and the ravid is pirush. One of the pirushim that we have unique on Maseches Tomid is the pirush of the ravid. The ravid says that it wasn't pshat that it was heard until Yericho, it was heard in Yericho. And it says this was a nes. Betzim was heard, well, the normal... Till outside Yerushalayim. Yericho is a shar in Perech Sakdusha, Perech Satoma, of a Keneged Yerushalayim. When Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, the very first place that they had to capture under Yeshua Benun was Yericho. Yericho was the gateway to the Perech Satoma. If Yericho doesn't fall, then they were not able to conquer Yerushalayim, to conquer Eretz Yisrael. The gateway to Kedusha in Eretz Yisrael, of course, is Yerushalayim Mir HaKadosh. The gateway to the Koiches HaTumah, to the Merkavah HaTumah, was Yericho. And because of that, Yericho and Yerushalayim are sort of Zelu Umazeh. One of the big Bali Machshava, many, many years ago, pointed out something very frightening when the government in Eretz Yisrael made the very ill-advised Oslo Accords. So the place that they made the seat of government for the Reutzkim, for the Palestinians, was in Yericho, Jericho. And the pshat in that is, of course, even though they didn't do it, Adaita Dehochi, but the pshat is underlying that is that the Merkava Letumah has a Mokum Achiza in Yericho. We'll add in parentheses that the other Mokum Achiza in Eretz Yisrael for the Koiches HaTumah is Derech Eretz Plishtim. And that's why Klal Yisrael couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. Derech Eretz Plishtim, what is that? That's Aza. So both of those places are a Mokum Achiza for Koiches HaTumah for Snagdus to Klal Yisrael. In any case, Yericho is a Mokum that has a capability of reflecting Yerushalayim at some level. The certain significant noises of the Koiches HaKdusha were heard in Yericho. Ad kan dvar vakdoshim shel haravid bepirusha. Now the Mishnah goes weiter. Mi Yericho hayushaimim koil hamagrefo. They heard the noise of the fork. It's a tuning fork, which the Levim used to use in the Negunim and the Beis HaMikdosh. This type of kli was a unique type of thing. They had 10 holes, and it was different sounds, and it was one musical instrument. It had a tzura like a pitchfork, like a kli that was used for shoveling the deshen on his back. That's why it's called a magrefa. So it also had a loud noise. Miricha heishaimim, koilait shav osa ben kotin muchni lakir. We've said this before, that the water of the Kiryan Kana that was used to be Mekadosh Yadayim V'Raglayim of the Kohen Lavoido every morning, the water had to be Neskadosh in a Kli Sharis. The Kli Sharis was the Kiryan Kanoi. The problem is that all things that are Neskadosh B'Kedush Zaguf Lavoido become Nifsal Belina. So every night they would have to get rid of all the water. So what they did was they lowered it into a well that was over there, and with that it was Bahashoka together with other waters, and then the water was able to come back up the next day. So this Muchni, this the crank that would lower the water from there, also made a noise, and that noise was also heard. Again, what's the significance of each one of these things? Vesuknish. Each one of them is a significant noise of the Tzadak Dusha. Miricha Yeshaimim Kol Gvini Korois. The Kruz is always somebody who calls out in a loud voice all over Tanakh, all over Mishnayis. So who's Gvini? Gvini was the one who was the Oimid Lavoida, and he said, Imdu Kehanim Lavoidaska. Miricha Yeshaimim Kol HaCholol. The Cholol is the flute, is the Makib HaCholol, is the Lashon Chazal used in Sukkah for the Shira and the Beis HaMikdash. Miricha Yeshaimim Kol HaTziltzol. Also, these are symbols. It's one of the musical instruments mentioned in the last Halukah, the last capital of Tehillim. Miricha Yeshaimim Kol HaShir. This is when they did the Nesachim. Miricha Yeshaimim Kol HaShofar, that they blew every day in the Beis HaMikdash. They blew a whole list of shofars. You see in Maseches Sukkah. We'll have it also at the end over here in Perek Zayin. How many tkiyos, how many teshrats, and so on, were blown every day. V'yeshoimim af koy loy shel kohen gadol b'shoy shem askes Hashem b'yom ha'kippurim. Even though that's not a noise, that's something verbal. So we had before, miricha yeshoim kol gvini ha'koyos, but over there the pshat is that it was a noise that was meant to be loud. The voice of the kohen gadol saying the shem Hashem b'yom ha'kippurim l'chore is not noise, it's something that was said. I feel the Hochi, since it was so significant, it also had this this kayak over here. Certainly, it's very hard to hear it if it's not something that's supernatural. So Yerushalayim, even without the shtickle of the Ravid, they said that it was Nishma Adiricha B'derech Nes. You still left the kasha. Why Adiricha? So that for that you have the Ravid with the Hezbollah that we said. Miricha here, Mirichin Reach Pitim HaKteris. This is already not sound. This is already smell. They were able to smell the K'teris again. That's where the Kayak Sakdusha were Mashpi until. Amr Rabbi Loza ben Diglai. This is a Tana that we don't have. Izim hoy lebeis Abba Bahar Michvor. Father, his father had Izim in Har Michvor. Where is that? Obviously, far from Yerushalayim, the Rav says. It's hard to know where it is. The other side of Yerushalayim. Some of the Mefarshim bring it that it's in the Hori of Gilod. Then they say, Ke'eder hoy Izim shegol shum mehar Gilod. So Pasuk in Shir Shirim. So based on that, they say that that's where it was. And they say, they would sneeze. That means the hashpa was all the way till there. So that's a lot further than Yerichoy. So is he coming to argue? Is he coming to add? Not clear. Mishnah test. Mishnah zocha v'dishu mizbech ha'pnimi. Nichnas v'notl teni. The one who was zocha in avodas ha'pnim, which was Mestama more chashuv than avodas mizbech ha'chitzoin, took the basket that was one of the kelim, v'hinicha lefonov v'yichoyfin, he would shovel the efer that was on the mizbeach, v'noisin l'teichi, he would put it into the teni inside the basket, b'achroino, which means at the end of the process, when there was very little efer on the mizbeach and it couldn't be taken off with his hands, that means the shoveling choyfin is always a process of scooping up something with one's hands. Over here, the efer was already thin enough and there wasn't enough of it on the mizbeach, so he would keep it as a shar l'toichoy. He would sweep off the rest of the mizbeach. The mizbeach should be clean, clear. So he would sweep off the rest into the teni, into the basket. V'hi nichoy, he would put the teni down, v'yotzo. So he did an avoida of dish mizbeach, but he wasn't moitzi the deshen from the heichel. Nichnas. Then, the one who was zeichin, the dishon hamenoira went in. Motzo shtei haneirois, shtei neirois mizrochiois dolkim. He found the two that were lit. Medashen as hashah, he would clear out. He would take out the leftover, the psoilis, the leftover wicks there, and the efer from the rest. Umeniach es elu dolkim b'mkaimam. He would leave those two that are lit. I'm on purpose not explaining the details. Very intricate, and we'll explain. I just want to get the whole retzav of the Mishnah with the dishun of the Mizbeach HaPnim together with the dishun of the Menorah. He would clear out what had to be cleared out. Whatever was lit, he left. Mitzon Shekovu, if he found the two Neiros, which the Mishnah said before, were the Mizrochim, that they went out, they actually weren't lit. Midashnon, he would be misakin the wicks over there, he would take out whatever was left over. Madlikon Min Dolkim, he would light it from the ones that were lit. That means he would take the source of the hadlok of the other ones was from the one that was still lit. And then he would be midash in the rest. We'll just read the rest of the Mishnah. There was a stone in front of the menorah and it had three steps. It was too tall for a person to be able to reach all the way up. The kuz is the kli that he put the neiris into, the dishun, and he would put that al mala shni aviyotza. The same way we said that the one who had the avoid of the dishun mizbech apnim, he left the teni, the kuz, which was the equivalent kli for putting in the psoiles of the leftovers of the dishun and the menorah, he also would not exit with it. He did his avoida, he put it there and he walked out. That's the Etzem Tzura of the Mishnah. Now, what we do have to fill out, the Rav has a great arichus over here, is that this Mishnah wades right into a discussion, which is in several places, the Sugin Shabbos, and other places, which the Mefarshim bring by arichus, about exactly how the menorah was set up. So let's give a few basics. The Pasuk says, that much we know, that the menorah was in the Tzad Hadorim of the Heichel. Almost the Shulchan and the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the menorah was in the Tzad HaDorah. That being said, that means the Knisa to the Heichel was Bitzad HaMaariv. I'm sorry, Bitzad HaMizrach, because it's going towards the Maariv. Maariv was already the Paroichas that went to the Kodesh Kodosh. What was on the Tzofen side? What was on the Dorim side? The Mizbeach was certainly closer to the Paroichas. The Shulchan had on it lachem upon was l'tzad ha-tzofen, l'tzad ha-dorim was the menorah. That being said, it's not clear whether the neirois stood midorim l'tzofen, the width of the heichel, or it stood keneged the length of the heichel, mimizrach l'maariv, sort of going from the knisa, from the entrance of the heichel, towards the paroiches, which led into the Kodesh Kadosh. There's another point over here. The Pasuk says, Yarechoyse Aaron Me'erev Ad Boikel Lefnei Hashem. This is a Pasuk in Pashas Emor that talks about the actual Hadlokas Ha Neirois. So Chazal Darsh in this Pasuk, Yarechoyse, Yarech is a Loshen Yochid. So what that means to say is that there's one Ner that from it the other should be lit. How could you say light it? It? It's them. It's Neirois. It does not go on the whole Ner. It's light them. What's light it? Light it means that there was an it, there was a ner echod that should be dolok, and from it would be lit the others. According to the tzad that the menorah stood mi mizrach l'maariv, which we'll see is the shita of our Mishnah. So then what we're talking about is the ner sheni from the tzad ha-mizrach. The way the Mefarshim explain it is a klal v'im avir in ala mitzvahs. So mele l'chor, it should have been on the tzad ha-mizrach yoyser, because that's l'chor, the first ner that the kohen meets up with. Again, we're coming into the knisa of the heichel from mitzad ha-mizrach. So l'chor, the first one, if the menorah is situated from mizrach to ma'ariv, so then the first ner that he meets up with is the tzad ha-yoyser mizrach. That should be the one that should be lit first. But since it says Lefnei Hashem, so Lefnei Hashem means Altsad, Lefnei Hashem Altsad Ayosim Kodesh, which is on the Maariv side, close to the Kodesh Kodosh. So Memel, the Pshara is that it should be a little bit further in, but really towards the Tzad HaMizrach. This is the famous Maimon Chazal. This is called Ner Marovi because Lefnei Hashem means Letzad Yosem Arav, even though it wasn't Mamish the Ner Marovi. And this is the one that was lit always B'derech Nes. Eidu Si L'Boy Oilum Shashkin Asher B'Yisrael. This is the Ner Marovi that he put in Shemen. Kemidus Chavri Sel Mimeno Hayim Madlik U'Bohim Misayim. It's famous that this Ner was Shulay B'derech Hateva. And the Gemara says that it was all you may buy is Rishon. And even be made by a sheni until the p'tira of Shimon HaTzadik. Now, if that was exerus with Yovan, and then didn't necessarily stay lit b'derech nes. So again, the assumption of the Gemara is that from the fact that the Mishnah says over here that we're talking about the motzer shtei neris mizrachiyos, is that the menorah was situated takam mitzad mizrach tumarv on the tzad dorim. But it ran from east to west. So the second Ner that we're talking about, the one that was lit b'derech nes, Ner Marovi, was the second from the Tzad HaMizrach towards a little bit more towards Ma'ariv. And the Hatova Shtei Neirois, which is a separate Avodah, is the Shtei Neirois Mizrachios. And that's what the Mishnah says. The stomach of the Mishnah is that the Shtei Neirois Mizrachios were the ones that they were left lit. They were medashin the rest. They would leave those, and that would be that. If the lemaisa they had gone out already, they were medashin. They were madlik those. They would go out, leave the dishon, and the hamshocha of the hatov, the shtei neiros was only lit after the carbon tom shoshaka. We're not up to there. This is all before the carbon tom shoshaka. Now, the makor for this of dividing the Neiris into two separate Seder Avoidis is from a pasuk not in Parshas Emor, but it's a pasuk in Shmois, Perek Lamed, Baboike, Baboike, Beitives, and Neiris. The Torah says to light them in the morning. It doesn't say Baboike, Baboike, Baboike. What does that mean? That means that there's two groups of Hatovas Neiris, and Chazal understand that there's five, and then there's two. The reason is because you do as many as possible. But you have to leave over for a second Seder. The second Seder, you can't do one because it says Neirois. So you have to leave over Neirois 2. So Mela, what you're left with is 5 and 2, the 7. The Neir Sheni, the way we described the Lefidus Cheshvan that goes from Mizrach to Marav, was the one that was the one that had to be the Makor for the lighting of the rest, the way we explained. And Mela, the two Neirois that were separate from the other five were the ones from Tzad Mizrach, and then there was the other five. Okay, one last detail is Lagabi, the Evan that stood in front of the Menorah, was because the Menorah was the height of a person, so in order to be Meitiv, he has to have somewhat of a help. Lamaisa, the Torah says, Behalois, says three times the word Halo, because of that there were three steps, Zayd Lainer Chazal. We make a going up, an aliyah, to be able to be Isaac in Avodah Zarah. So there were three steps there. And then we have that last point where the Dishun was left for a separate Shlav of Avodah. It wasn't Nizdashin and taken out. It was left there. And we'll have to see, Mitz Hashem, in the coming parak, what exactly happened. What was the Hemshech of the Avodah.